Yes.
In our
right. Chopra, right. Everybody does that. No. No. You count. Tekiya is one. Shmorim, two. Trua, three. Tekiya is four, right? All right. Repeat that two more times. So that makes 12. Okay? That makes 12. Add now Tekiya, Shmorim, Tekiya, right? Three times each. So that's nine more. So now you have 21. Okay? Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya, again nine, right? So that makes 30. So it's 30 sounds that we have prior to the recital of the Shemona Esrei, right? Then we have 30 sounds that we recite during the reader's repetition of the Shemona Esrei. So if we follow the minhag that we are required to blow 100 sounds, so it means that we still have to account for 40 more sounds, okay? So in our shul, we blow it after Musaf, we blow the 40 sounds, right? But if you say 30 sounds during the silent Shemona Esrei, then in that particular case, you only have to blow 10 more times in order to reach 100.
When you blow during the silent Shemona Esrei,
yeah.
How many do you blow each time?
Okay. First time around, well, all of them. Okay, what we do then, our minhag is to blow Tekiya, Shvorim, Trua, Tekiya, right? That's four. Tekiya, Shvorim, Tekiya, that makes seven. And then Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya, that makes ten. So it's ten and ten and ten. Okay?
You started with
30. Okay, then 10, 10, 10, so makes, no, makes 60 already, gives you 60. So as I say, either we add 40 afterwards, or if you do it during the Shemona Esrei, in which case you have 30 in the silent Shemona Esrei, so then you have 10 more to do. So this is the way it works out. So that way everybody's happy if they have 100 sides, okay? All right, let's go a little bit to the Gemara, we'll call it a night. Yeah, any questions? You mean during the silent prayer?
No, I'm talking after the silent prayer. They don't even call it out. They're not doing the prayer.
No, where did you get that?
The
repetition.
That's the repetition.
The Hasidim do it, all right. I don't have any quarrel with the Hasidim doing what they do. But the fact is, I mean, that we normally have somebody who calls out so that the person who's blowing the shofar should know, what sound to produce, okay, without getting mixed up. Okay. Yeah. All right. At any rate, we saw in the Mishnah that there was a difference of opinion between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and between Rabbi Akiva. So, Omaloi Rabbi Akiva. So, Rabbi Akiva said to Yochanan ben Nuri, he says, Eino tokea. If he doesn't blow shofar l'malchias, when we have malchias, then lomahu matzkir. So why should he even take the trouble to mention pesukim, which are, of course, associated with the theme of God being king? All right. Take a look, please, on page 476. 476.
477?
476. Okay. We'll get to 477, too. Okay. All right, we're going to see later on that they say that you should blow 10, you should make mention of 10 psukim for each section, okay? So now, what are the 10 psukim of Malchios? All right, we start first with the ending of Alkeinu Kaveh. Take a look on page 476. It's Karkosubis or Rasecha, right? as is written in your Torah, what? Ad Hashem Yimlok Le'olam Moed. This is the first pasuk. Okay? V'ne'amar, and then is another pasuk which says, Lo hibit oven mi Yaakov, lo ho amol mi Yisrael, right? God has not, you know, witnessed the evil, the wickedness in Israel, but Ad Hashem Le'olam Mo Yisrael Melech Bo. The Lord God is with him, and the shouts of joy for the king is among the people of Israel. Okay, so we see already Melech mentioned over here too. Okay? The Ne'amar, and then another Pasuk, Vayehi v'Yeshurun Melech, right? That God became king among Yeshurun. Yeshurun is another name for the Jewish people, right? V'Sasef Roshayom Yachad Shivta Yisrael, when people all gathered together, and so on. Okay. Then it says, V'Divrei Kotshecho Kosulemor. This means in the writings. Divrei Kotshecho. In other words, the third part of the Tanakh. Okay, what we usually refer to as Ksuvim. Okay. And what's written over there in the holy words? Chilat Hashem Hamlucha U'Moshe Bagoyim. So again, the kingdom belongs unto God, right? And he rules over the nations. V'ne'emar, another pasuk, Ad Hashem Moloch Geyus Lovesh, Lovesh Hashem is Lezor, and so on, God reigns, etc., etc. Okay? V'ne'emar, and then we quote again, Se'ushar Moshechem, right? V'yinosu b'Yisraelom v'yavo melech ha'kovod. May the God of glory, may the King of glory enter in. So we have now three psukim that we see in which we mention God being king. Okay? And then, at the conclusion of that, v'yayidei abedech ha'navim kosev le'mor. Right? And by your prophets, we have the following. It's written, Ko amar Hashem melech Yisrael le'goalo, right? Thus saith God, who is the King of Israel and his Redeemer, Ad Hashem Tzvavos, he is the God of hosts, Ani Rishon v'ani Acharon, I am first and I am last, there is no God beside me. Then, v'ne'amar, another pasuk, v'yola Moshe mahar Tzion, right? L'shmotas harisov, v'hoyesol Ad Hashem hamduchat, the kingdom belongs unto God, right? So again, mentioned the kingdom. V'ne'amar, in another pasuk from the prophets, V'hoyad Hashem l'melech ha'kol ha'oretz, right? God will be king over all the world, over all the earth, right? V'yom ha'huyad Hashem l'chodesh v'echod. And then, what do we conclude with over here? So far we've had three, three, and three. Now we need one more, a tenth pasuk. So therefore, the tenth pasuk is, V'sorotzcha and in your Torah, Kosev le'mor, it is written as follows, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Now here, as we'll see from the Gemara, even though it doesn't say that God is king, but the implication, of course, is that God is king over the entire universe. Okay? But still, we're talking about Malchus Shemayim. Okay? Over here. All right. So, what Rabbi Akiva is asking Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you say you don't blow shofar after Malchus? Why should he even take the trouble then to recite all these various pasukim? It has no value otherwise, okay? That's what he's saying to him. So, the answer that he gives, what do you mean? Lamahu maskir? You're asking me, why should he make mention of them? Rachmano amar didkar. The Torah says we have to remember. So, Ella Lama. Eser, why ten psukim? Levotesha, he says to Yochanan ben Nuri. In other words, if you say that you don't blow shofar, so who says that you have to mention ten psukim? Say nine psukim. Say nine psukim. Blowing the shofar is to indicate that God is king over the entire universe, right? And therefore, it should not be treated any less respectfully than zichronos and shofros, which also require the blowing of the shofar. So as I say, I mean, he's talking to Yochanan ben Nuri. He doesn't like Yochanan ben Nuri. And of course, we follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion in this case, all right? The Hoel Vishtani says, since you're making a difference between Malchios and the other ones, then Ishtani, okay, so make another difference. The difference, instead of saying so many psukim, so you can say a few less psukim and so on. Okay. I think I'm... All right, tonight is the 13th of December, the year 2000, And we are continuing in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Beis, Omed Aleph. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. So our sages taught us, and this is actually a quotation taken from the Gemara in Megillah. It says, "Minayin she'omrim avos." How do we know that we have to make the bracha avos? Where do we have a reference in the Bible to this? Okay, that we should recite, you know, the Mogen Avraham bracha. So he says, "Shenemar." So he takes this from a very familiar psalm to us. And he says, right? And he says, what does it mean? He says, give praise unto God, you who are the B'nai Elim, the children of the mighty. This is how he translates it. Okay, others can say that maybe it's a reference to the angels or whatever it may be. But that's not the way Rashi understands it. Rashi understands it, the children of the mighty, and who are the mighty? So as we say, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they are the Takifei Olam. This is what Rashi says. They are the Takifei Olam. They are the mighty ones of the world. Okay? So that, therefore, this is why we make mention of Abraham, Yitzchak, Kei Abraham, and Kei Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Zerucha Chasli Avos, who remembers, you know, the kindness of our forefathers, etc., etc., and they will bring redemption to their children. Okay. So, he gets it from B'nai Elim. The B'nai Elim are to give praise, okay? U'minayin Shomim Gevuros, and how do we know that we recite the second bracha of the Shmon Esrei, Ator Gibor Yisrael Shenemar, as the Pasuk continues, Hovel Ad Hashem, Kov Avos, give praise unto the Lord, declare His glory and His power, right? And power, of course, Oz, is sort of like a synonym for what? For Gevurah, okay? Omenayin Sherman Kedushos, and how do we know that we have to recite Kedusha, the holiness of God? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Havulad Hashem, Kavod Shemo, right? Ascribe unto God the glory due to His name, Ishtachlu Lad Hashem, Bahadras Kodesh, and prostrate yourself unto God in the beauty of holiness. So you see the word Kodesh over there in that case. So this is what the Gemara in Megillah says. And of course after that they go on in order to explain some of the other brachos. I mean, what is the order? But right now they're only interested in the first one, because what was mentioned in our Mishnah? You recite Avos, Gevuros, and Kedushas Hashem. So now he goes specifically to the next question. And where can we find a reference to the fact that we recite Malchios and Zichronos and Shofros? So here everybody has a different opinion as to where we have a reference. One is as follows: Rabbi Eliezer says, Ditzu says, there is a pasuk. Pasuk happens to be in Vayikra, Parsha Emor, where it says, Shabbosom, Zichron Trua, Mikra Kodesh. Okay? Maybe it would be better if we take a look at a Chumash for a moment. Yeah. In Parsha Emor, where we have about the various Yom Tavim, So after first speaking about Shabbos and Pesach and Shavuos, so then he continues and it says, "Why daber Hashem Moshe leimor, daber Bnei Yisrael leimor, right? B'chodesh Hashvi, the seventh month, b'yechad l'chodesh, on the first day of that month, yiyelochem, there shall be unto you Shabboson, Zichron, Teruwa, Nikra Kodesh." Okay, those words. Yeah. Okay. Literally, you shall have a Shabboson. In other words, a day in which you don't do any work, it is a Sabbath, right? and Zichron, right? Literally, the remembrance, right? And Trua, blowing of the shofar, Mikra Kodesh, and a day of holy convocation. All right, so we'll see how they teach, how they explain these words. Rabbi Eliezer touches on this one. Huh? They didn't mention it yet. You're absolutely right. Okay. Right, so Rabbi Eliezer Omer Dechsev, the Pasuk says, Shabboson, Zichron, Truo, Mikra Kodesh, right? So it says, Shabboson, Ze, Kedushas Hayom. In other words, the word Shabboson, this refers to the sanctity of the day. Zichron, Ele Zichronos, that mentions the fact that we have to recite Zichronos, right? Truo, that is a reference to the fact, Ele Shofros, and then, what is the significance of Mikra Kodesh? So he says, that means, Kadshehu Basias Melocha. Sanctify it. If we were to translate literally, we'd be mistranslating it. Because Basias Melocha here doesn't mean sanctified by doing work, but it means sanctify it
by refraining
from doing work. Okay? This is why you can't always go by an exact translation. You have to understand the spirit of it.
What's the exact
translation? Alsias Malacha means not to do. It means literally to do work.
To do work.
But in reality, when it says Alsias Malacha, what they mean is not to do work. Okay, not to do work on the Shabbos, not to do work on the Yom. Okay. All right. So this is Rabbi Yitzchak. Omalei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva came along and he said, "Bip neimar lo neimar Shabboson." Shavuot Shabbos, he says, why didn't the Pasuk begin, he says, with the word when we say Shabboson, meaning simply rest on this day, the first word with which he began, you know, the quotation over here. Elo Shabboson means what? Katshehu Basis Malacho. He says, Shabboson means don't do any work on that day, it is a Sabbath. Zichron, so you have to say Ele Zichronos, right? Trua Ele Shofros, and then Mikra Kodesh, he says, you see the word Kodesh over there, he says, Unkedush is Hayom. This is the sanctity of the day. So, the point is, as Irv already hinted, that what have they mentioned? They found the pasuk for Ovos, they found the pasuk for Gevuros, right? They found the pasuk for Kedushas HaShem, right? They found the pasuk for Kedushas HaYom, and for Zichronos in Shofres, but what is missing?
Malchios
is missing. So therefore, we have to find out, Minayin Shomim Malchios, where do we have, you know, some kind of a hint in the Torah that we also have to recite Malchios? So he says, Tanya, we have learned a different teaching. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, it's written, Ani Adeshem Elokeichem, I am the Lord your God. In other words, when we see, you know, this whole section dealing with the Yomim Tovim, so it says, Ani Adeshem Elokeichem, I am the Lord your God. Well, Ani Adeshem Elokeichem, right. Rabbi is Rabbi Yehuda Adnosi. They always refer to him as Rabbi. They also Rabbi Yehuda Adnosi, but he's the one, right, the editor of the Mishnah, absolutely. Right. So it says, Ani Adeshem Elokeichem, right, I am the Lord your God. Again, if we take a look over here, you'll see that Ani Adeshem Elokeichem is the conclusion of the paragraph just before where it talks about Rosh Hashanah. In other words, actually, is the conclusion of the one where he was talking about the observation of Shavuos, right? But, you know, they look for the proximity of one phrase to another. So Ani Adeshem Elokeichem, and then right after that, they speak about, you know, the law of what happens in the seventh month on the first day. So therefore, he says, Ani Adeshem Elokeichem, this already is a reference to God being king of the universe, right? V'chodesh HaShviyi, and when are we celebrating it? It says, Du Malchus, this is the reference to Malchus that we have. Okay, so this is what Rabbi had to say. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer says, Einu Tzara. He says, I don't need your drash. I have a drash of my own. Okay? Harehu Omer. It says what? The Hoyu Lachem Zikon of Neilakechem. Okay? Ani Adeshem Lakechem. In other words, it's not Ani Adeshem Lakechem that I quoted to you over here from Chav Gimel, but rather we're talking about a passage that we find in Sefer Bamidbar, where it's mentioned over there of Yom Simchatzchem, of Moadechem, of Rosh Hashanachem, right? That the days when you have rejoicing and so on and so forth, Uskata Batzotros, then you are to blow trumpets, Alaloseichem, Hayulachem, Zikaron, so that the blowing of the shofar, in other words, should be as a memorial to you, to God, that God should remember you, right? Ani Adeshem Elokeichem. So it says over there, that particular reference, Vayulachem Zikaron, right? Lifnei Elokeichem, right? She'ein Talmud Lema Ani Adeshem Elokeichem. Why does it have to say Ani Adeshem Elokeichem at the end of that particular pasuk over there? Doesn't need it, right? Because you know, it says the Fnei Elokeichem is already, God is mentioned, right? So why do they have to add Ani Adeshem Elokeichem? So he says, Shein Talmud Loma Ani Adeshem Elokeichem. Right, it's not necessary. It says Amar Talmud Loma, so that therefore, why does the Torah say Ani Adeshem Elokeichem? I am the Lord your God. He says, Zeb Bono Av Lechol Mokom, Shenem Arbo Zichreinos, Yum Malchus Imahem. He says, this is to set up a general principle. This is what we call a binyan of. Binyan of means that when you have a certain reference, in that particular case, you have two similar things, right? Then in that case, you can say that this sets up a general principle that wherever we have situation A, then situation B also is valid. Okay? Kal v'chomer is a little different. Kal v'chomer, you say, you argue as follows. That inasmuch as, you know, in this thing, this is so, then in that case, logically, take the next step further, that it should also be so. Okay? So that is based upon logical reasoning. Here, this is not based upon logic, but it's based upon a general principle that you set up. Literally, binyan of, in other words, a principle building. Yeah, a principle rule. Right, okay? So what is the binyan of over here that he's talking about? By the way, you know, we say Rabbi Yishmael in the morning, right?
Yeah.
Binyan of the pasuk echad, the kosev echad, binyan of mishnei ksuvim, right? In other words, you can set up a binyan of either from one pasuk in the Torah, or even from two psukim in the Torah, where you see it. Okay, so... So this is the binyan of. He says, okay, you notice that it says the zikaron, right? Lifnei Elokeichem, right? So he says, this teaches us that whenever we have zikronos, where we ask God, you know, to remember us, then in that particular case, yiyu malchios imohen, then malchios also has to be together with them. Where is the malchios? On the other Shem of the Kechem is the Malchios, okay? And then he says, Vehechen Omrah, and so therefore, if that's the case, where should he recite this? He says, L'Kedushas Hayom. This is why he should recite it by the Kedushas Hayom, that is, the Malchios should be recited with Kedushas Hayom, in as much as what? We're talking about the sanctity of the day and the sanctity of God as the ruler, okay? So therefore, this is where Malchios belongs. Okay, yes. Yeah. The general principle is that wherever we have zikronos, okay, it says, Hoyulachem zikoron. So, and what did we have before? It's katebach tzotros, right? Alaloseichem yazivriskamechem. You understand? That's the way the pasuk runs. The Hoyul zikoron of Deyalakechem. Okay? That you have to blow the trumpets together at the time when you give up the burnt offerings, right? And the Hoyu Lachem Zikaron. they shall be as a zikaron, adi ad Hashem lekeichem, right? Which means, I'm the Lord your God, therefore recognize me as being your king, you understand? So that therefore, zikaron, and so on, is associated also with Malchus. Okay, this is what he's saying.
He says the two both go together.
Yeah, the two go together. So that therefore, where do we have to mention the Malchios? We have to mention it together with Kedushas Hayom, because we're talking about the holiness of the day, and this is what it is, you know, because it says Rosh Hashanah, right? Yom Simchatzchem Moadechem Rosh Hashanah, and so on, okay? All those occasions. Okay. So, right. Tanya. Now we have another teaching along the same lines. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Im Hamalchius Omra. He says that you say what do you say together with it? He says, you say the Zichronis together with Malchios, Mamotzin Bechol Mokim, or these, Afkam Revis. Well, he's not arguing over here at this particular point about where do we say Zichronis, but his point is this. We said before that where should we say Malchios? We should say it together with Kedushas Hayom. In other words, the bracha in which we speak about praising God that He gave us this Yom HaZikaron, this is where we should add the Malchios. So he says, Mamotzinu, what have we found, the Chol Mokim? That where would they normally have the Kedushas Hayom? It's always Boravis. It's always the fourth bracha of the Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei has what? Ovos. Gevuros, Kedushas Hashem, correct? And then, where do we say Atovachatonu or Torkidashto, whatever it is, or Yismach Moshe, or Tikkat Shabbos? You know, it's always the fourth bracha, okay? So that therefore he says, if we're adding the Malchios together with the Kedushas Hayom, then in that case it has to be what? It has to be the fourth bracha. Yes. And what?
Gzera Shava.
Gzera Shava is something else.
It seems similar.
All right. Many of these things seem similar. But technically, a Gzera Shava, which is based upon two words, you know, one word in situation A and one word in situation B being identical, so that on that basis we say what is true for A is also true for B, okay? But that has to be on the basis of a tradition which was already well established beforehand. So we would say, you know, practically it's a tradition that goes back from Sinai, you understand? If we were to simply take every word in the Torah and say, I have a word S over here, and I have a word S over here, that's not a Gezeirah Shava. You understand? Because the word S occurs in too many places. So, Vayadaber is not a Gezeirah Shava for the same reason, right? It occurs so many often, or Vayomer and things like that. You understand? So that's not a Gezeirah Shava. Gezeirah Shava has to be based on the fact that you have a word which is outstanding, and where you have the tradition that this is a valid Gezeirah Shava. You don't have it, in that case it's not a Gezeirah Shava. Okay? The Binyan Av is based upon the fact that if you see A and B together, either in the same Pasuk or in two Pesukim, then we say that wherever A is there, so B will also be there. It's to be understood. Okay? Not exactly the same as a Gezeirah Shava. But the element of a binyan of does not require that that there is a certified tradition that this has always been traditional. Okay. All right. Now we continue. All right, so in this particular quote, citation that they're giving, so Rebbe says then that Kedushas Hayom and Malchus have to be recited together, right? And we have to blow shofar at this particular point. Why? Because every time that we make, every time that we recite Shmona Esrei, the Kedushas Hayom is always the fourth bracha. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, he disagrees. He says, Omer im hazichron asomra. He says, no. He says, you should recite Malchios and Zichronos together. That's what he's saying, okay? Make them together, and then at that particular point, you know, blow shofar. Why? Why should you combine the two? He says, Ma matzinu, what have we found? Bechol mokim be'emsa, just as we find. That bracha is always the middle bracha, right? But take a look at Rosh Hashanah. We have Ovos, Gevuros, Kedushas Hashem, right? Kedushas Hayom, Malchios, okay? Now, what is Malchios then? It's already the what bracha?
Fourth.
No, it's now the fifth bracha, if you go on that basis, right? And then Zichroinos, Shofres, and so on and so forth. Okay, and so you have, you know, five more. But if you combine it, the way he suggests, so it's going to be what? In other words, by combining Malchios and Zichronos together, that's going to be number five, actually.
It'll
be number five, right, okay? Well, if we have nine brachas, okay? Ovos, Gevuros, Kedushas Hashem, okay? Malchios Zichronos, okay, that's four and five, and then Shofros, and Avoda, Hodor, and Sim Shalom, right? Birkas Kohanim, so you see that it winds up as the middle problem, says if you combine it. Look, we don't accept this point of view, so let's not break our heads too much over it. Okay. But nevertheless, this is what he says. So he says, just, the, you know, normally it's the middle bracha, so I've come by Emsah, right? Uvshekidshu bezdin is hashona b'usho, and he says, furthermore, when the Bezdin sanctified the year in Usha. Alright, this brings us back to what we learned on the previous daf, right? Where we were talking about how the Sanhedrin wandered from one place to another after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? And it left the Lishas HaGozis, and then it went to Yavne, and then we said from Yavne it went to Usha and so on. And if you remember, and then we came back to Yavne, then back again to Usha, and then after it's at Zippori and other places and so on, as we had on the previous daf. So we learned the Rashi at that time, and we saw that each place was associated with a particular personality. That, for example, Yavne is associated with whom? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Okay? And afterwards, we find, you know, that the Sanhedrin had to wander to Usha, but then came back again to Yavne. And when was this? This is the days of Rabbi Gamliel. Okay. Then we said they went back to Usha. Now, who was the head of the Bezdin at that particular time? It was Rabbi Gamliel's son, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So he's the person who we are quoting over here. Okay? So they're saying now that when they declared Rosh Hashanah, you know, the Bezdin, because of, remember I said that the power of the Sanhedrin to declare the Bezdin continued as long as there was a Sanhedrin functioning in Eretz Israel until finally it came to an end in approximately the 5th century, the early part of the 5th century. Okay? So they were in Usha at that time. So at that particular time we have the following incident. Yorad Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko, Lifnei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So we find that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka was the davener at that time. He davened for the Yomet Musaf, right?
Yeah.
And there was in the presence of Shimon Gamliel. The Yosuke Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and he followed the practice of Rabbi Yochanan ben, ben Nuri, who, as we remember, we said before, you say Malchus together with what? With Kedushas Hashem, and you don't blow shofar, right? And then, only after Kedushas Hayom, which you say, then, of course, presumably, we're going to blow shofar at that particular point. So, this is what he did. And so, he did this. So Amalo Rabin Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon said to him, Lo Hayunogim came Yavdin. They did not practice this way the way you're doing it in Yavdin. In other words, there we followed a different procedure, and of course that is a procedure which is like that of Rabbi Akiva. Okay? So yeah. My eye wandered. Okay. Yeah. Layama Sheni, on the second day, and this requires a little bit more explanation in a few moments, we'll get back to that. So, Yorad Rabbi Chanino Benosha Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. So, this time the davener was who? Was Rabbi Chanino, the son of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. The Yosuk Rabbi Akiva. And he followed the procedure that Rabbi Akiva at stress. In other words, to have Malchios and Kedushas Hayom joined together and then to blow shofar, right? So Omer Abshimon Gamliel, so Abshimon Gamliel saw, you know, heard the order in which he was davening, says, yeah, Kacho Yenuhagim Yavdin. This is the way Taka, we davened in Yavdin. This was the practice that we used over there. So, Lememra, are we to say then that what? The Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva Savalei. Are we to say then that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had the identical opinion of Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, didn't Rabbi Akiva say, Malchios, you say, Im Kedushas Hayom? Omalahu, this is what he said to them. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Kedushas Hayom is to be together with Zichroinus. This is up further, we've learned that before, where he disagreed. And this was his opinion, that you say Kedushas Hayom together with Zichronos. So Amalahu, this is what he said to them. So Amar Rabzeira Lomar, he says, this is to teach us what? Shetokin Lamalchios. This teaches us that in any case we have to blow shofar for Malchios. Now, what does it mean, Layom HaSheni Yorod Rabbi Chanina? He says, my Sheni, what do you mean the second day? Ilemo, if you were to say, Yom Tov Sheni, in other words, was the second day Rosh Hashanah, right?
Yeah.
The name, in other words, to say the Ibru Halel, that we declared that Elul this time had not 29 days but 30 days, and so the following day was Rosh Hashanah, so that would give us 2 days Rosh Hashanah, because people always observed the 30th of Elul as Rosh Hashanah. They always observed that, and therefore the implication here would be that they also observed that year what? The 31st day, so to speak. In other words, what we would call, you know, the beginning of Tishrei, right? Is that what we mean? So, the Homa Rabbi Chanina Bar Kana, didn't we have a tradition mentioned by the Rabbi Chanina Bar Kana who said, Be a most Ezra Ve'ele, from the days of Ezra, from that day on, Lo Matzinu Elul Me'ubar. We never found that the month of Elul was Me'ubar. In other words, it was never a month of 30 days, so that the following day would first be Rosh Hashanah. But it only had, all those centuries, only 29 days. So that the day following would, of course, be Rosh Hashanah. So why does it say by Yom HaSheni, when presumably here was a Beis Din, and here they proclaimed it, and why would it be necessary for them to say Layom HaSheni? So he says, then it doesn't mean what you think it means. So Omer Rav Chisda, so Rav Chisda said, by Sheni, what do we mean by Sheni? He says, Layom Sheni Lashana Haba. He says, what we mean is that the following year, he didn't do it anymore, you know, like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, but he did it instead, like what Rabbi Hakiva had said. Okay. I think we shall call a halt at this particular point.
Okay,
tonight is the 20th of December of the year 2000, and we are continuing from where we left off the previous week, Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Beis, Omid Aleph, towards the bottom of the page with the new Mishnah that we have over there.
Right.
Now the Mishnah says, Ein pochsin me'asor malchios, me'asor zichronos, me'asor shofros. Okay? The Mishnah, without giving the name of any author over here, in other words, we would very often refer to it as being the Tanakhama, which means the, you know, the first authority which is mentioned, and this happens to be what the halacha is as well, that we do not recite less than 10 psukim for the malchios, for the zichronos, and for the shofros. Okay, so in Malchios, if we want to see where it is, so we find it on page 476, and notice how it's arranged. First it says, Kakosim so'secha, as the Torah says, what? Adeshem yimlok li'olam v'oed, right? V'ne'emar, and another posek, lo yibitovim b'yakir, v'olam v'kovimo, v'suas melech bo, again, you see the idea of melech mentioned over there. V'ne'emar, and the third posek that they cite is, v'yibishu in melech, right? So, from Malchios, the three passages taken from Torah are quoted over here. Then, of Divrei Kotshecho Kotsub Leimor, it doesn't go in the order you notice of Torah, Nevi'im, and Kesuvim, but instead, how does it go? It's Torah, Kesuvim, and then after that there's going to be the Nevi'im. Alright, so from the Ksuvim, in other words, the writings, which would include mostly Psalms, but it could possibly come from someplace else. But generally, Psalms is the major source in this case. Okay? So, they quote the following. Kila Hashem Hamlucha Umosha Balgoyim, right? That's the first one. Divrei Kotshecho Kotsuv Leimor, you see? Where in the paragraph that begins, Lohi Bitovim Yaakov. Okay, but those, you know, Lohi Bitovim Yaakov and the next one, Hebrew Shumel, these are the completion of the three psukim together with Hashem Yimlok, the Moed, for the Torah citations for Malchios. Okay, so now we are in, what do we find in the Ksuvim? This is what he calls Divrei Kotshecha, the holy words, alright? So one of them is Kilat Hashem Hamlucha Moshe Balgoyim, correct? The next one, Ad Hashem Moloch Geir Slovei, Shovei Shem Zav Tikon Tevir Bal Timot. The third one, Zayusha Moshechem, they quote the entire last half of the Psalm up to Ad Hashem Tzvoi Samelcha Akavot Tzela. Okay? So those are the three passages that they cite from Ksuvim. What are the three passages that they then follow, you know, that they cite from the Nevi'im? So that's what we have beginning at the bottom. You have first of all, this happens to be from Yeshayah. Okay? V'ne'emar, V'yolo Moshim ha'atzim nishpon so'isom ho'yisol ad'ashem hamlucha. Okay? Where does this come from? Who remembers? I said it this past Shabbos in Shul. It's the last pasuk in Avadia, okay? And then the Ne'emar, Bahuya Hashem Lamelcha Kol Ha'oretz, Bayom Ahuya Hashem Echod, Ishmei Echod. Okay, so those are the three, and of course that incidentally comes from Zechariah. Okay? Alright. And then what do we have following? So Roscha Kosev Ne'emar, going back again to the Torah. So we have Shema Yisrael, Ad Hashem Elokeinu, Ad Hashem Echod. You see that? Okay? Alright, so how many do we have? Three from Torah, three from Ksuvim, or Divrei Kotshecho, right? Three from Nevi'im, and we wind up once more with Torah. Now, if we go to Zichron, by the way, and then of course you see the next paragraph, this is actually the conclusion to Kedushas Hayom, in the sense that it also has what in it? Kachenu Mitzvah, right? And of course, the conclusion, the last words of the bracha is Baruch Ad Hashem, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. But since it is joined together with the concept of Malchios as well, so what do we have at the beginning of the paragraph? Meloch al kol ha'olam kula b'chvedecho, etc., etc., right? And the bracha is not stam, Baruch Atah Hashem, the Kaddish Yisrael, but it is Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech al kol ha'oretz, right? That's the Malchus element. The Kaddish Yisrael, the Yom HaSekorim, this is Kedushas Hayom, right? The sanctity of the day. And we blow shofar at this particular point. So this is in accordance with what Rabbi Akiva said, that you have to have, you know, that Malchios is joined with Kedushas Hayom and not with Kedushas Hashem, and after this, then we blow shofar, just as we do after Zichronos, which is the next section that begins with after Zocher, right? And also after Shofros, which is the third section of the Musaf service. You want to take a look at the Pesukim over here? All right, so first we have a general introduction to Atah Zocher. You remember all the things, you know, you remember every creature, you remember all the nations, and the judgment is passed on them, and so on and so forth. And happy is the person who has faith in you, and so on. All right. And then, what do we find? Remembrance. God remembers. Mentioned in the Torah. So this we have at the bottom of page 478. Where we start in by saying, "V'gam esnoach b'yahavo zacharta." Likewise, just as you remember every creature, so you remembered who? Noach, in your love, in that, you know, you say to him the time of the marble, which we find on the next page, and then you see on page 479, "Karkosav sorasecho," right, as it is written, "V'yizkor elakim es Noach," God remembered Noach. The Yeskol Achayav, Yeskol Abahemashir Tomateva, together with all the wild beasts and the domestic animals that were there with him in the ark. And then God caused a wind to pass over the earth and the waters to recede. Okay? So this is the first pasuk. Then, the next two pesukim, Vayishma Elokim Esnoach Kosam, Vayishkol Elokim Esbisa Tomahom Nitzoko Yitzchak Yaakov, and then the next one, Zochati Esbisa Yaakov, Esbisa Yitzchak, okay. The second one happens to be in reference to the Jews in Egypt, that God remembered them in the midst of their toil and so on. And then the third one actually happens to come from Sefer Vayikra at the end of the Tochicha, where God says that even though you will be suffering the Tochicha, right, all kinds of punishments, but nevertheless, with Zochati, with Yaakov, I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, and my covenant with Yitzhak, and my covenant with Abraham, I will remember, and I will also remember the land, meaning Eretz Israel, okay? And then again, of Divrei Kotchecho Kotzu Lemor, right? These are psukim now that come from where? From the Ksuvim, as I said, primarily we find that that comes from Til, okay? Zechos and Nufloisev Chanvachim Reshem, you know that God remembers, right? V'nema Teruf Dosalev, Yizkoli Hembriso, God remembers His covenant, you see again the idea, and then Vayizkoli Hembriso, Yenochim Krev Chasonov, these are quotations from Til. And then, V'yal Yedeh Avedech Anuvim Kosev Leibor, what about the Nevi'im? What psukim are we quoting? So, the first one comes from Yirmiyahu. Ko amar Hashem, holoch v'kavrosu b'yushan le'mor, ko amar Hashem, zachati lo chesed nirayach, God says, I remember the loving kindness that I displayed to you in your youth, right? How, like the love that we had as newlyweds, ahavas kelulo sayach, right? When you were willing to follow me into the wilderness, even though it was a land which was not cultivated, but nevertheless Israel had faith in God. God says, I remember my covenant with you in the days of youth, and I will once more fulfill to you my eternal covenant. Right? And then the third one comes from Yirmiyahu, Avein Yakeli Ephraim, right? Is not Ephraim a precious child unto me, right? Im Yelad Shashum, a child with whom I love to play, Kimidei Dabri Bo Zocher Eskenele, because whenever I speak to him, I remember him. Al Kein Homo Meyailo, therefore, my intestines, but it doesn't mean that, it means my heart, let's say. Okay. Becomes filled with emotion for him. Rachema Rachmenu Neyum Hashem. I will show mercy unto him. Okay, so these are the 10 psukim, if you counted them. We've had 9 so far, right? 3 from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, right? 3 from Nevi'im. We still need a 4th, and we still need a 10th pasuk. So where is that 10th one? So the answer is, take a look further down on page 480, where we have the conclusion of the bracha of Zichronos. And you see, it says, "Al yedei av Moshe avdecha mipicho necha kol mor." Right? V'zochalti lahim bris v'shonim asher tzisay somias v'tzayim lein hagoyim lius lahim lehim ani Hashem. So there is pasuk number 10, and where is its source? The Torah. Okay. Now we go to the last of the brachos, and of course, when we conclude the Zichronos, again we blow shofar. Okay. Then we come to Shofros. Okay, now obviously in Shofros, the citation has to be relevant to the idea of the shofar. Okay, so let's see if we could trace it. Okay, so we started first of all by talking about the revelation of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam on Mount Sinai. Okay, and this is the beginning of it. You revealed yourself in the cloud of your glory to your holy people to speak unto them, in other words, to give them what? The Ten Commandments. From heaven you enable them to hear your voice, and you revealed yourself unto them with in the midst of pure darkness. The entire world trembled before you, Rios, all those things that you had created, they trembled before you as you revealed yourself, our King, on Mount Sinai, right? And you gave them Dibros Kotchecho, Dabros Kotchecho, and Ahavosation. And, of course, what happened over there? But Kolos of Rokim Alehim Niklesa. When the revelation on Mount Sinai took place, it was in the midst of Kolos of Rokim, in other words, thunder and lightning and so on. It reminds me of what happened in our house the other day. When was it Sunday night? Oh, yeah. Wait, did we have Kolos of Rokim that night? Only at Mount Sinai it was more. Okay. There's only a little taste that we had. Okay. And also it says, "V'kol shofar alehem hafata," right? And the people heard the sound of the shofar coming from heaven. Kakos v'sarasecha. There we have. All right. Beginning of the psukim now for Torah. Vayehi vayom ha'shlishi v'yos haboker, right? Vayehi kodesh v'rokim v'nan kovin alehom. V'kol shofar chazok v'yom. Reference to shofar at Mount Sinai, right? Next. That and the sound of the shofar kept going stronger and stronger and stronger. Moshe spoke, and God answered him aloud with a voice, with the sound. And the third one, right? Everybody, the entire people gathered at Mount Sinai heard the thunder, the lightning, the flashes of fire, and the sound of the shofar, right? And they saw the mountain of, which was smoking. So we have then 3 psukim, and each one speaking about the sound of the shofar. Of course, we see that there, one of the ideas of the shofar is its connection with what? With Mount Sinai, okay? The giving of the Ten Commandments. The giving of the Ten Commandments, yeah.
Doesn't say they heard the kolos.
Right.
They saw the kolos.
Well, okay. I think that was probably a simultaneous. you're right. I mean, if they used Vayahom, right? Okay. This is a simultaneous reaction. All right. Uvdivrei kosher kosulei mor, and in thy holy writings, what is written over there? All Elohim is Shruat Hashem Mekol Shofar, right? As a matter of fact, this is part of the Tillim that we read this morning, right? But God ascends with the sound of the shofar, all right? Next pasuk, Machatzotzos Mekol Shofar, Lechlechum Hashem. This we would recognize from what? From the Lechun Aranov, right? Shruat Hashem Shechodosh, and so on, right? Benemar, and another one, Tikkabachodesh Shofar, Like I'm going to get all these three, incidentally, again, are from Tehillim. Okay. And believe it or not, at this particular point, what happens? They throw in another one. The Mishnah, coming back to what we learned at the beginning of this Mishnah tonight, Ein Pochasin. We do not recite less than 10. Okay? So here we have what's happening. They throw in another quotation for good measure, also in the Divrei Kochacho. What is the quotation this time? And of course, that's Psalm 150. Hallelujah, Elohim Kochacho, because it was, etc., etc. We'll come back to this Psalm in a little while. Okay? But you know, of course, it's written the Halu B'Seker Shofar, right? It's one of the things, praise him with the sounding of the shofar and so on, okay? All right. Now, how about the Nevi'im? So, Adidei Avdechav Nevi'im Kosev Leimor, right? Kol Yoshvei Sevev Shokhtei Yeretz, Kim Soi Yisrael Mitiru, it's called Shokhtei Yisrael, all nations of the world, right? When God will set up his standard upon the mountains, you will see. And when he sounds the shofar, you will hear. So it's the Beit Hashlam sounding the shofar in the presence of all the nations of the world. V'ne'emar, another pasuk, v'hoye v'yom hu yitokim v'shofar gadol, right, it will come to pass on that day that the Beit Hashlam will sound the great shofar. U'v'ho'ov dem yeretz ha'shuvel in the chimetz Yisrael, and those who are lost in the lands of Assyria, and those who are astray in the lands of Egypt, yishtachlu ad shamar kodesh Yerushalayim. Jews will gather from all over the world, right, and they will prostrate themselves before the Ribbono shel Olam and the holy mountain in Yerushalayim. I don't know what Arafat has to say about this. Obviously, you know, he denies the fact that Jews feel for Yerushalayim and the Arabais, the holy mountain, etc.
Yeah.
Barak is selling out everything. Sugar. He wants to get elected as the peacemaker. Yeah.
Doesn't it have to be ratified?
Yeah, months ago he said it had to be ratified. But, you know, he puts out a deal and then he says, take it or leave it, you know, to the Jews.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. All right. Anyway, we're looking for the third pasuk right now. All right. V'ne'emar v'Hashem lehem yireh, God will appear unto them, yotzakabar chitzo, and his arrows will go out like lightning. V'Hashem lehem b'shofar yiskar, right? And the Beit Hashem will sound the shofar. We'll come back to this pasuk too in a little bit. That's why. Don't give me back your siddur yet. Keep it open to this because we'll have reference to what we have on this page. Okay? All right. So now we have Torah, three psukim, right? From the Ksuvim, we have not three, but we have already four citations, right? And from the Nevi'im, we again have three. Okay. We still have to have our pasuk from the Torah. Where is it? So the answer is on the next page. Uviyom simchatzchem mo'adechem, the days of your simcha and your festivals, v'sheichot sheichem, uzkatem atzotzot al v'sheichem, right, then you have to blow trumpets at the time when the burnt offerings are offered, right, v'yal zivchei shalmeichem, when the various festival offerings are made, v'hoyu lachem v'zikarun v'nei lakechem, so that these sacrifices that we make will be as a to remind the Ribbono shel Olam as a memorial before the Ribbono shel Olam Hashem from the Keichem. Okay. And then, of course, we conclude Baruch Atah Hashem, right? Shomea Kol Torah Tzal Yisrael Barachamim. We praise God who hears the sound of the blowing of the shofar of the people of Israel with his mercy, and we blow shofar. All right. So we've analyzed essentially what we find in Malchios, in Zichronos and the Shofros, and we see that they adhere to what we learned in the Mishnah over here, that you do not have less than 10 Pesukim. Okay.
Why
the order? That's a good question. Okay. Because normally, we always think in terms of what? Torah, Nevi'im, Kesuvim. So why, in this particular collection, you know, the selection of the Pesukim that we recite, for Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, why is it that we recite Torah, Ksuvim and Nevi'im. So one theory that was propounded is that inasmuch as we see that all the citations that they have from the Ksuvim are all taken from where? From Sefer Tehillim.
Where?
The Book of Psalms, from Tehillim. Okay? And who is the author of Tehillim?
Dovid
HaMelech. So that, therefore, from that point of view, Dovid HaMelech, then Torah is the earliest compilation. Right? Tehillim, which represents Ksuvim, this would be another compilation, chronologically would follow, okay? And then finally come the Nevi'im to cap it off. So that this is an explanation that has been given. Take it or leave it, but this is what it is, okay? All right. Getting back to our Mishnah now. Okay, so we know that you must have at least 10 psukim, right?
Have we settled the question where we bought the chocolate?
Oh, yeah, because we follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion that we combine Malchios together with Kedushas Hayom, with Kedushas Hayom, as we saw, and we blow shofar at that point, right?
We do blow it three times.
Yes. So, because, right.
Huh? We
announce
it as a blowing
for Malchios. Oh, yes, absolutely. But then, you know, afterwards, you know, we say, Areshus Tefoseinu, Yerufanecha, Ken Rabban Yisrael, right? May the expression, may what we have uttered, you know, be acceptable by God on high, right? And then we say, Uskabil Barachimim Rotzon, may you accept in your mercy and in your goodwill, Seder, what we have performed in the right, and we say Malchioseinu or Zichunoseinu or Shofarseinu, right? So depending upon which point on the service it is. Yeah. All right. Now, of course, we find that people always have different opinions. So the Mishnah continues.